Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. Today we're going to be in Job 31 and 32. So turn in your Bibles there. I will pray. I will read through these two chapters, possibly pausing for any devotional thoughts. And then at the end, I will think about application for myself and close in prayer. And then I'll encourage you just to be paying attention as I read, to be thinking about application yourself, and spend some time in prayer about that as well today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Job and for this story here that we can read and think about. We can learn about you. We can learn about Job, but we can also learn about ourselves and relationship to you. And I pray I would do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Job chapter 31. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. Stop right there. First verse of chapter 31. This is Job is having his speech still with his friends. And this one has gone on since chapter 29. But this is a verse I have seen often in my life, have thought about, and he doesn't give us any context. We don't really have anything else. It's since this is a part of poetry, it's almost like it's coming from Proverbs, where Job makes this covenant not to look lustfully at a young woman. And it's interesting that it's included. It's interesting that he's being transparent in that way, that God includes it here, but I think very helpful for myself to consider this. Let's continue in verse 2. For what is our lot from God above, our heritage from the Almighty on high? Is it not ruin for the wicked, disaster for those who do wrong? Does he not see my ways and count my every step? If I have walked with falsehood or my foot has hurried after deceit, let God weigh me in honest scales, and he will know that I am blameless. If my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, or if my hands have been defiled, then may others eat what I have sown, and may my crops be uprooted. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then may my wife grind another man's grain, and may other men sleep with her. Okay, this is interesting. Again, keep in mind, this is poetry. But he's speaking in this way to basically show that from what he knows, from what he can tell, he has been living for God. He has not been going after any woman. He has not even been lusting after other women. Or if he has, he's been confessing all these things. So that's his main point here in this language. Verse 11, for that would have been wicked, a sin to be judged. It is a fire that burns to destruction. It would have uprooted my harvest. If I have denied justice to any of my servants, whether male or female, when they have had a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? If I have denied the desires of the poor, let the eyes of the widow grow weary. If I have kept my bread to myself, not sharing it with the fatherless, but from my youth I reared them as a father would, and from my birth I guided the widow. If I have seen anyone perishing for lack of clothing, or the needy without garments, and their hearts did not bless me for warming them with the fleece from my sheep, if I have raised my hand against the fatherless, knowing that I had influence in court, then let my arm fall off from the shoulder. Let it be broken off at the joint. Again, using this poetic language to say, I have helped other people. I have not been greedy. I have not just been all about myself. Verse 23, for I dreaded destruction from God, and for fear of his splendor, I could not do such things. If I have put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, you are my security. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands have gained. If I have regarded the sun in its radiance or the moon moving in splendor, so that my heart was secretly enticed and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, then these also would be sins to be judged. For I would have been unfaithful to God on high. If I have rejoiced at my enemy's misfortune, or gloated over the trouble that came to him, I have not allowed my mouth to sin by invoking a curse against their life. If those of my household have never said, who has not been filled with Job's meat? But no stranger had to spend the night in the street, for my door was always open to the traveler. If I have concealed my sin as people do, my hiding my guilt in my heart, because I so feared the crowd and so dreaded the contempt of the clans that I kept silent and would not go outside. Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. Surely I would wear it on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would give him an account of my every step. I would present it to him as to a ruler. If my land cries out against me and all its furrows are wet with tears, if I have devoured its yield without payment or broken the spirit of its tenants, then let briars come up instead of wheat and stinkweed instead of barley. The words of Job are ended. End of chapter 31. All right, what a way to end his dialogues and speeches with his friends who have turned against him. Stating his case, seemingly pretty humble, even in this very strong poetic language, and saying, listen, take a look. Have not I lived for God the best that I can and served others? Because the accusations against him have been that obviously all the loss that he has endured, he must have been living in sin. All right, chapter 32. So these three men stopped answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Now, normally that would be a pretty bad phrase to have be the truth. This is the way they're looking at it. Verse 2, but Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite of the family of Ram, became very angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God. He was also angry with the three friends because they had found no way to refute Job and yet had condemned him. Now, Elihu had waited before speaking to Job because they were older than he. But when he saw that the three men had nothing more to say, his anger was aroused. So Elihu, son of Barachel, the Buzite, said, I am young in years, and you are old. That is why I was fearful, not daring to tell you what I know. I thought age should speak, advanced years should teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. It is not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understand what is right. Therefore I say, listen to me. I too will tell you what I know. I waited while you spoke. I listened to your reasoning. While you were searching for words, I gave you my full attention. But not one of you has proved Job wrong. None of you has answered his arguments. Do not say we have found wisdom. Let God, not a man, refute him. But Job has not marshaled his words against me, and I will not answer him with your arguments. They are dismayed and have no more to say. Words have failed them. Must I wait now that they are silent, now that they stand there with no reply? I too will have my say. I too will tell what I know, for I am full of words, and the spirit within me compels me. Inside I am like bottled up wine, like new wineskins ready to burst. I must speak and find relief. I must open my lips and reply. I will show no partiality, nor will I flatter anyone. For if I were skilled in flattery, my maker would soon take me away. All right, we'll stop there at the end of chapter 22. Elihu will be speaking for a couple more chapters, so we'll pick up next week. So, couple things I take away from this. We've now heard Job's dialogue with his friends, his defense of himself. Again, we have to put it in the context of this being in the literature of poetry, but still, a true story, and these emotions are true, and the perspectives are true, and the wrestling within his heart is true. But for my takeaway today, I go back to verse 1 of chapter 31. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. So I think for myself, being a man, even though I am a pastor, that temptation is always there. And certainly in our culture, the opportunities are always there. And so it's a good opportunity for me again today to make a covenant with my eyes, not to look in lust, but instead to continue to gaze upon my wife and to pursue her in that way. So what is God saying to you about himself? What is wrestling inside of you? Maybe there's things that that Job brought up in terms of how he has lived that God used instead to convict you or to have you think about what you need to consider. So take an opportunity to meditate on this and to pray and to apply God's word to your life today. Father, thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the opportunity to read and to consider Job as you told Satan to do and as you've given to us to do. And Father, today I want to commit myself in all these ways that Job mentioned. But Father, what you've brought to my mind is that I would once again today commit my mind and my heart to my wife. And Father, if there's temptation in terms of looking at other women or lusting in my heart and mind, that Father, I would be aware of that, that I would say no to that. And Father, anytime that I fail in any of these ways, that I would be quick to confess. May I live faithfully for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.